Matthews been playing?
Jordan's done a nice job since he's gotten here. You know, obviously for all the rookies, it's getting acclimated with what we're doing in terms of schemes and learning new terminology. But, you know, you get great effort and a consistent approach to it on a daily basis from what he gives you. So really excited about him. But right now he's still just acting like a rookie.
Mark, you just take any relevance out of what position he slot is at this point? Like,
is it
strength,
dangerous?
Strength?
It's extremely dangerous. Yeah. No. They're just learning the offense and trying to get a feel for what they can do. And part of this process for us is not only are they learning it, but we're learning them. So what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? And, you know, we've got a long way before we have to play a game. So it's just a matter of getting guys out there and trying to get as many reps as we can with them. So
rules are the same for everybody. Every team in the league does it. But the way that you guys have to do OTAs and break them up and only have a certain number of days, and does it make it more difficult to do your job, or is it just you have to change how you would do it than you would with a college team or whatever?
No, I mean, I don't look at it that way. I look at it, here's the rules, and just implement them, you know. So it's, I think you're wasting time if you, you know, I hear people complain about them, but they're not going to change. So this is the amount of time that we have. This is how it's allotted, and how do we use it as efficiently as possible, and that's what we're always looking to do, so.
Marcus Smith said he's been learning Connor's position right now. Is that the plan, or are you going to kind of ease him in and have him learn both of those?
We could piggyback off of that. There is no plan. It's trying to figure out what those guys can do and what their skill set is and what their strengths and weaknesses is, and then we'll go from there. But you got to start them somewhere. You just can't say, hey, learn every single position. Just we're going to put them at one spot and figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are as we evaluate them. We're in the eighth OTA today and, you know, see how they go. We got two more OTAs. Wednesday, Thursday, then we got 3 days next week, and then we'll sit down as a staff and, you know, what's our plan as we approach preseason camp. So,
all right, Chris Pope didn't have a ton of touches last year, but he seemed to be pretty productive when he did.
Mm-hmm. He did. He's really had a great offseason. He's worked extremely hard rehabbing his shoulder, but I think he was really one of our key special teams players for us and starting to. You know, you look at from probably like the Detroit game on, you know, he had a couple really big runs in that game and, you know, starting to really develop as a back and, you know, just trying to figure it out again where he fits in that piece. Obviously, we got a talented one in LeSean, and then when you add Darren Sproles to the mix, you know, where does Chris fit into it? But I think in terms of what he's done in this offseason, he's really put himself in the picture.
Could you explain the decision to have Sanchez boarding with the twos right now?
There is no decision. And there's no decision. We're just getting reps, so there's not a decision of who's who.
Kenny, and so it's less than.
It's not less. We chart it every day. Our ones and twos and threes are getting the same amount of reps. So GJ sometimes takes the ones reps when it comes back to. So if anybody's trying to make anything of who's playing what or how many reps, all we're trying to do is see if we can get is 3 reps a minute as fast as we can go, get it on tape, and coach off of that. So there's nothing to read into who's where, what, whatever, because we're not playing a game until September. So we're just trying to get as many plays as we can possibly get. So I really wouldn't read anything into who's where or who's with what. So
there was some thought given, though, to putting Marcus in that spot initially, Connor's spot. What was the thought there? How does that play?
Well, we had Bracken, so we had no one backing up Connor right now. So let's see if we can get him on the field and see what he can do.
Sanchez so far, how's he coming along?
I thought he's done a really nice job. The unique situation for Mark is he's probably ahead of where Nick and Michael were last year because he has Nick to rely on. So everything was new for everybody in the quarterback room last year. Now when you add Mark to the room, he's learning from Nick. He's learning from Matt. He's got guys that have been through it before. So he's really sharp. He works extremely hard. He's got great work ethic. Really, really, really wants to perform, spends a lot of time, asks a lot of really good questions, and he also has probably a lot more experience than a lot of guys. You know, he's played in this league for a long time. He's got 60-plus starts, so been real impressed with how quickly he's picked it up, and for him, really, it's just learning new terminology. A lot of the routes and combinations and things we're running are things that he's done, you know, when he was with the Jets. It's just trying to say, hey, it was called this here, it's called this now that I'm in Philadelphia, but I've been real impressed with his football background. I think he's still working his shoulder through. I wouldn't believe he's 100% now, but he hasn't missed any reps. So I've been real impressed with him so far. So
how has Malcolm Jenkins done as far as picking up the defense and kind of like serving as a quarterback back there so far?
He's been outstanding, and I said that the last time I talked to you guys is that you know, his ability, because he's played multiple positions in this league, he's been a corner, he's been a safety. Rob Ryan, I got a ton of respect for, runs a pretty sophisticated defense. New Orleans, and I think his ability to you know, transition from that to ours. I think there's some similarities in terms of what we're doing, but he's been really, really good, and he has become the, you know, the vocal leader in that on the back end for us. So we're excited to see where he's going. So
yeah, on the defense, did that surprise you at all that he was able to, like, pick it up?
No, it's part one of the reasons we targeted him, you know, and that's what we were looking for, and he had the specific skill set that we were looking for, so he was the number one guy we were looking for in free agency. So
on the defensive side, you're counting on some veterans improving in their second year in the scheme. What goes into that projection?
I'm confused with the question. We're counting on every veteran to improve, I guess.
But if you look at a 30-year-old player, a 31-year-old player, what makes you think?
We look at guys as individuals. I don't look at it as there's not an age. So, I mean, I've seen some 30-year-old guys that are broken down and can't even move, and I've seen some 30-year-old guys that can play five more years. So we look at with the individual and how they performed and what they produced and where we think they're going. So,
in Trent's case, why do you think he's going to be better in the second year in this game?
Just more experience, having a better understanding of what we're trying to do. I would hope everybody on our team is better in their second year because they have a better understanding both offensively, defensively, and special teams.
You talked about the collective effort that goes into formulating the offensive game plan. I assume this is my way on the defense. How does Billy go about spearheading that and taking advice from other position coaches
It's always a collaborative effort. I don't think on any staff, whether you're in the NFL or you're in college, there's not just one guy that sits in a room and comes out and says, here's a game plan, go teach it. You know, you sit down and you break down film by situations, by personnel, and then you kind of spitball ideas, and then everybody comes up with, you know, kind of how you want to approach it, what their thought processes are. And I think one of Billy's great strengths is that he listens to people. But finally, ultimately, the group has to make a decision, and that's the same way we do it offensively. So.
Expand his leadership role from last year to this?
I just think Nick is more comfortable in his situation, which obviously being in a second year, you would anticipate that. But, you know, I think now he's not wondering what's next. You know, he knows what's next. You know, he knows what's expected during the offseason program, during phase one, during phase two, you know, when you get into the OTAs and when you get into minicamp, so he can help the younger players. That's what's one thing that Nick's really, really good at is taking the young guys. Right now it's been taking the young guys under his wing and showing them this is how we do this, this is how we approach this. He's done the same thing with Mark, you know, in terms of how we want it to look, the vision that we have for what this thing's supposed to look like. I think he can articulate that really well. And I think obviously because of what he did last year from a performance standpoint, people are going to listen to him.
Because you do have a limited amount of contact this time of year, is it easier to evaluate offensive than defensive players?
I think it's difficult for both, you know, especially in the lines. Is he a good drive? You know, look at some of the young guys. Is he a good drive blocker? Well, we can't drive block each other. You know, I mean, the biggest cooperation has to go on between the offensive and defensive lines, and our guys understand that. And I think more importantly, we tell them as a coaching staff, we understand that. You know, there's a lot of times out there where I know you would have made the play. I understand that. That would have been a sack, but we can't go near the quarterback. We got to stay away. We obviously, there's a certain amount of work we know we have to get done. And part of that is there's a lot of guys in certain situations that are pulling back just because you don't want to risk injury. And we can get a good amount of work done, but obviously there's certain questions that won't be answered until we get an opportunity to put the pads on.
Alexander said he spent this offseason trying to improve his strengths. Have you seen any payoff here thus far in the spring about his kickoffs in particular?
Yeah, I think he's gotten a little bit stronger in terms of the distance that he's kicking the ball, in terms of where we're placing the ball during our kickoff drills. So, you know, excited to see where it is, especially when we get into some real life situations. The tough things with the kickers is we can't rush them, we can't do anything. So, you know, a lot of times right now it's like they're going out in the driving range just hitting balls. They're really not getting, it's not real live action for them. So, again, it's another position where we really won't have anything determined until we get into preseason camp and get in some preseason games. So,
if your rookies have been running for the most part second and third team, does that maybe speak to the increased depth or, you know, kind of a better depth on this year's team than maybe?
No, it's usually what we do. You know, it's, we script that way. You know, our ones obviously have a better grasp of the playbook. So, you know, in certain situations, we want to see things done. So instead of slowing down 10 other guys because one guy's not exactly sure what the play is we just make sure we know when that group is in or where they are. I think Pat and Billy have done a really good job of cooperating on how they're scripting and the looks they're going to face. So it's just a combination of, you know, where it is. So
in Sproles' case, what have you learned about him coaching him that you didn't know coaching against him, about his skill set?
I mean, I don't think I learned anything. We knew he was a really, really talented player, and when he got here, he showed that right from the jump. We've heard from the coaches that coached him what an intelligent football player is, and learned that from the first day he was in this building, and how sharp he is and how dedicated he is. I know I talked to Norv Turner, and he remarked to me that you know, when I saw him at one of the pro days, is you're going to have to slow him down because he only knows one speed, and that's the same thing you see. Is Darren practices or trains at one speed, and it's awesome. You know, he fits in with the culture that we want in terms of preparation, and but it's everything we wanted when we got him here. So.
And you talked about how he's been calling plays and set the defense and something he didn't do last year. Is that just the natural part of his progress?
No, he did that one day this so far because D'Amico wasn't here. So.
Spring, so.
He mimics what D'Amico says, but if you listen to the call, D'Amico's making the call. Michael's just getting comfortable. If for some reason D'Amico's not here, we get an injury, rolls an ankle, he's sick, you know, that Michael can. That's just part of everybody kind of getting outside their comfort zone and expanding the role. Instead of waiting for someone to tell him what we're going to call, he's going to make the call himself. So, not a big deal. He's trying to learn how to do a crowd noise.
The tight end situation, you got Brent, you know, who's kind of made himself in a really good blocker, and you got a young guy, Zach Ertz, who's kind of establishing himself as a really good receiver. Like, how do you balance that out?
You got a really good one in James Casey also. So, but again, we're not playing any games, so we're just trying to get as many reps as we can. They're both playing tight end. They're both playing the move tight end. They're just getting better at what they can do and trying to get as many reps as we possibly can. So.
How's the progression for Lane Johnson?
He's different. Obviously, he's not a first-year player. He's not relying on Todd Herrmann's to make the calls for him. Similar to Michael Kendricks, you know, where I thought, well, maybe Michael sometimes just leaned on D'Amico and didn't make the decisions himself. Last year, a lot, you'd let Lane make decisions with Todd Herrmann's. Todd, just tell me what to do and execute it. Now, Lane knows what to do, and he's communicating a little bit better with those guys. So.
Thank you.